welcome back to the program. Joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is a man who needs no introduction. He's been synonymous with St. Louis sports for a very long time. You can read him at stltoday.com and follow him on Twitter at GordoZone. Jeff Gordon, how are you?
Hey, we're doing great. Happy day in St. Louis. Cards did not lose today. That's notable.
Hey, two in a row. You know what we call that, right? A winning streak.
Absolutely. And, oh, by the way, the Blues look a lot better. Man, that was quite a weekend for those guys, huh?
Yeah, that's what we have. That's why we're having you on to talk about that. First, we have a text here from Hockey Bob saying to tell you hi, and he wants to know who ended up with the big wall at the Scotch Ray with your big mug on it.
Only God knows what our promotions department will come up with. But, yeah, I had a hard time living down that one, that's for sure.
So Friday, quite the emotional roller coaster for a lot of Blues fans. Everybody was ecstatic that Yuri Laterra got traded to the Philadelphia Flyers. But then, you know, a few minutes after that, fan favorite Ryan Reeves goes to Pittsburgh. And I saw a lot of people really upset about it. But I love both moves that Doug Armstrong made. He really redeemed himself.
Yeah, he had to do something big this summer, and, you know, it's hard to get offensive players and to basically convert Yuri Laterra into Braden Schenn using a couple number two picks, one real late in the first round. The other one will probably end up being the latter part of the first round. Now, you would do that every time because Laterra was dead weight. His money was dead weight. Schenn, at the very least, is going to be a guy that's going to help you offensively. 17 power play goals last year. He's a pretty good offensive player with a chance to be somebody who could really help this team at center. If that doesn't work, at the very least, he's going to give you a score, and Laterra was giving you nothing.
Just absolutely nothing. I have a friend who lives in New York, but he's from Philadelphia, and he's a big Flyers fan. And I sent him a text saying, thank you for taking Yuri Laterra. And he sent me one back talking about, you know, Braden Schenn, about how people in Philadelphia are kind of happy that he's gone. And I'm like, yeah, but Laterra looks like he's skating with an invisible piano tied around his waist.
Yeah, I mean, look, Schenn had his issues at even strength. Last year was a very disappointing year for the Flyers overall. They were awful at even strength. The power play was amazing, and he was a part of that with some great pieces around him. You know, Simmons in front of the net, terrific front of the net guy, net front presence. You know, Giroux, just tremendous playmaker. The Ghost, Gostivere, really good power play quarterback. So they really were well equipped on the power play for him to do well, but he still had to score those points. So the question is, of course, can he take that next step? But again, at the very least, you're getting somebody who's infinitely better than Yuri Laterra.
What do you know about Oscar Sundqvist, who the Blues got in the Brian Reeves trade from Pittsburgh?
You know, I think this is a good deal. I think you end up getting two really important pieces here. You know, you gave up Reeves and you gave up a pick to move up to get a higher pick, get a kid out of Russia who looks very promising. But, you know, Sundqvist is he's a big kid. He plays with an edge. You know, he's a guy that probably fits on this team as a sort of a Brodziak type going into next year with a chance to move up and maybe be a Berglund type as a four, then a three. He's physical. He's got an attitude. He scored some goals in the A. I think he's got a chance to be on the roster and be a factor in the bottom six, but, you know, some size and some attitude. He's not going to hit people with leverage the way Ryan Reeves did, but he's going to give you a big, strong look up the middle, which is really nice. And then, I'll tell you, the other part of that deal, getting a guy with top 10 potential in that draft. I mean, this has a chance. I'm not going to say it's going to happen. Once upon a time, the Blues traded David Rundblad, a prospect, to draft a guy named Vladimir Tarasenko.
Yeah.
Now,
yep.
This guy is not Tarasenko, but let me tell you, for what got him at 31, he could be something.
Now that they lost Ryan Reeves, did they lose a little bit of that toughness, a little bit of that intimidation factor?
Well, the biggest thing you miss with Reeves is not so much the fighting, which is helpful, but his ability to hit with leverage. You look at the playoffs, and by far and away last year, you know, he was their most physical guy. And there were times last year when that fourth line was their most effective line at even strength in terms of puck possession, you know, banging on the other team, creating pressure at the other end. I mean, it didn't score a lot of goals, but very effective in terms of what you want in this day and age in hockey, which is, you know, territorial control. They were really good at that. So you're going to miss, more than anything, you're going to miss a guy that hits with leverage. I mean, he is just a monster when he bulldozes into the defense. And I don't know, frankly, with the group you have, how you're going to replace that. You have some physical guys. You have some guys that will mix it up. Savoca's a tenacious guy. You know, Fabry's a dogged. Schwartz is dogged. They're not physical. I mean, so, yeah, where do you get that element? The flip side is, you know, even on a good night, Reeves might play 8 or 9 minutes. And so you're going for a guy that could be a top six forward and maybe a bottom six center in exchange for your guy that was a bulldozer. So, again, I think that part of it was ultimately will be looked at as a good deal.
So you trade for Shin, who's a center. You trade for Sunkist. He's also a center. And then with pick number 20, they take Robert Thomas out of the Ontario Hockey League's London Knights, also another center. So I'm seeing a pattern here, Gordo.
Well, it was a bit of a problem, wasn't it?
Just a little bit.
And you look at the team, and when you add Shen, if he works out at center, now a year from now, when Stastny's contract's up, you look at him and say, okay, we could keep Paul Stastny for less money, we could do something else. But you're not forced to put Paul Stastny in a role where you're really asking more than he can give. I think he's a really good player on this team, but I think he's at $7 million. He's not giving you $7 million production. You gave him that because you were desperate for somebody to play in the middle. I think now they've been loading up with guys that can play in the middle. The hope was going into camp that Zach Sanford would play in the middle and start out there anyways. I'm not sure that'll still be the case with these other players coming in, but nonetheless, that they're clearly focusing on trying to eliminate that problem they had last year.
Now, with losing Laterra and that big contract that he has, that just kind of increases their odds of signing Colton Parayko long-term, correct?
Yeah, that did. I think that plus, you know, they had to lose a contract, and so they weren't heartbroken as much as, you know, David Prom was a solid player here, didn't have great playoffs, but was a good fit for the team. Handy guy to have, but, you know, his cap money, a little, you know, under four, but still significantly 375, that really goes towards the Parayko extension. I think there's enough room under the cap now to take care of him. The question becomes on some of these other guys, whether it's Rozek, whether it's Upshaw, whether do you bother with those guys or you just go with younger guys in that bottom six, because you've got Barbashev, who showed last year. We mentioned Sanford. The guy they got from Pittsburgh, Sunfist, is a guy that can certainly play in the NHL next year. So you've got, Pajarvi, if you look at re-upping him. Certainly you don't bring back Yakupov, but then you kept Yashkin, who's still around. Do you keep him one more chance, or do you move him for maybe a future pick? So some decisions to make on the bottom six, but signing Parayko won't be a problem.
You've been covering St. Louis sports for a very long time. When's the last time that you could remember in the middle of a baseball season people in St. Louis this excited about the upcoming hockey season?
We know. I mean, they write about this for later in the week. You know, once upon a time, going back in the day, this team used to have fun with free agency. That was sort of how they generated ticket sales for the next year, whether it was, you know, the big Scott Stevens blockbuster, or then going for Shanahan, which unfortunately cost them Scott Stevens, or going for Phil Housley, or then going for Al McInnes, who cost them Phil Housley. It was kind of a whirlwind, but July used to be a deal for these guys where this is how they would start getting people thinking about hockey.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
This is comparable. This is comparable.
What do you think the next move that Doug Armstrong makes? Is there a big free agent out there that you think he has his eye on? Or do you think, like, who's on the roster right now is pretty much who's going to be playing for the note to start up the 2017-2018 season?
Yeah, I think they're pretty happy with what they have. I mean, like I said, they may have to make a few decisions about the supporting cast. I don't think you offer Yakupov a contract. That'd be silly. You turn the page on him, and you look at your other guys. You see which of them you want back. And the other thing to keep an eye on, because they don't have their own AHL team, last year they were with the Chicago Wolves. This year they're going to maybe send some guys there, but Las Vegas will have a full team there. They don't have their own team, and that may limit how many older guys they keep, therefore bumping younger guys to the A. They may be younger in their supporting cast this year just because they don't really have a great place to develop them. That might be something to watch as we have developmental camp this week and we have a chance to start talking to them about what their vision for next year is. But so it's a little different without your own minor league team. You probably keep a little smaller group and kind of focus on the kids you have.
I want to say it was Andy Strickland tweeted out something about how the Blues are going to have an affiliation with a USHL team, and maybe that announcement will be ready by the end of the week. I think Andy Strickland was the one who tweeted that out. Do you know anything about that?
No, I mean, there's obviously you're going to have to there's going to be some spill down with guys. You know, you're only going to be able to put some guys with their primary AHL team. There's other you may have to put some guys in the old East Coast League there. It's which they were in the past. They've had an affiliation with a not a conveniently located one in Alaska, but they were able to store some guys there. They're definitely going to have to look around and say, okay, where can we store some of these younger guys that probably would just waste their time going back to junior hockey, and we really don't want them playing as overage guys back there, and maybe some guys from Europe. What do you do with them? So. Some challenges on that front, but in terms of big moves this summer, I think they've made their roster. I mean, these moves are pretty substantial.
Now, all show long, Rocky and I have been playing a game. I don't know if you heard about the Rams. What they're doing is that in order to enhance the fan experience at the LA Coliseum, they're not going to be selling 90,000, 100,000 tickets. They're now only going to be selling 70,000 tickets because, you know, That's such a hot item in Los Angeles right now that people are going to be beating down the doors. But they're only going to sell 70,000. Rocky thinks this is pretty transparent. What do you think? This is as transparent or more transparent than what?
Oh, God. Yeah, it's so obvious with these guys. They're such a sad sack operation.
It really is.
You know, it's... Yeah, it's... And what's the marketing plan going to be in another 2 years when they're still trying to wrap up the Mayor Butts Memorial Stadium in Inglewood, and now they're down to like 50,000 a game or 45 when there's not an attractive opponent? I mean, yeah, so much for the old, hey, we're going to fill up the old Coliseum like in the way back days, you know, like in, you know, back when, you know, we could jam, you know, 90,000 people in this place. So it's they're learning what we already knew. They're learning what we need.
And I told the people in Los Angeles that I'm friends with on Twitter, I'm like, give it time. You're going to hate Stan Kroenke. I know that you love him now, and you have the giant cardboard cutouts of his head, and you're kissing it at all these Rams rallies. But I go, give it time. You're going to hate that man. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah, I asked the hockey fans in Denver or the basketball fans in Denver what it's like to have him as an owner. He's just, you know, he's just... For a guy with a lot of money, man, I always say, man, if I had his money, I wouldn't want crappy sports teams, man.
I wouldn't either.
If I was rich, I wouldn't sit through that crap. If I was rich, I'd do something about it, man.
That, I mean, okay, like, I don't know Stan Kroenke from, you know, from Adam, but I would imagine he's a fairly competitive guy just from being, you know, wanting to be, that from a competitive standpoint, you would want a good team and not be embarrassed all the time.
Well, he's competitive enough to want to, apparently, buy every parcel of land in America, you can see his holdings from space. But, you know, he's more than willing to let Kevin Demoff run his football team. I don't know.
Gordo, we appreciate your time as always, sir. Enjoy the rest of your week. We look forward to having you on again soon.
All righty, guys. Have fun with the Rams and the Blues. And, hey, I can't wait for Blues training camp because I got a feeling the Cardinal season is going to really rush us into hockey.
I think you're right about that one. I think you're absolutely right about that. Thanks, Gordo.
All righty, man.
That is Jeff Gordon from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can follow him on Twitter at GordoZone and, of course, read him at STLToday.com.
Hockey Bob chimed in a little bit earlier in our game. He said, as transparent as the Lamb's BS, Rocchio's love for Danielson, #BAM. He's saying that all my complaints are actually just covering up the love for Danielson. I'm not sure about that, Hockey Bob, but thanks for playing. I have another entrance into my little game. Matt Berger, this one's going to be things as transparent as the Rams BS. That is every excuse I used to Panera in college to explain why my eyes were bloodshot.
There we go.
Little tip for everybody, no one has allergies that often. Thank you, Giamatti.
Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to head to the Land Down Under. And Byron James from thefuzznba.com. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.